KFNC, on Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station. ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They are going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com is where to go. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Doesn't matter whether your car accident or your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery. You might drive an 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm will treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. The Daspit Law Firm working for you 24-7, fighting for your right for compensation. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. And a quick moment here as the host of Soccer Matters to remind you that nothing goes better together than great friends in Bud Light. So the time is now to get out to a patio, come out to a Dynamo game, come out to any of the games down at BBVA Compass Stadium, whether it's Tigres Morelia this weekend, whether it's Canada, El Salvador, those two games Saturday and Sunday. But most importantly, grab your friends and get an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights. Whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week, remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of Soccer Matters, on ESPN 97.5 every Wednesday at 7 Central. United States in action against Panama. It is a huge game. Right now, joining us is midfielder for the U.S. and the Chicago Fire, Dax McCarty. So let's just first, Dax, talk about the mood around the camp. I mean, we're 2 days out here from what is a huge match. We all know what's at stake here.
Yeah, no, the mood is really good. I don't think it's lost on any of us how big the stakes are right now. You know, there is no more margin for error, and we certainly understand that. The coaching staff understands that. There's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of urgency around the camp right now, but there's also a sense of calm because it's in our hands, and you're probably going to hear that expression a lot from guys on the team this week. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we have a home game against Panama that can put us in great position in the hex. And, you know, we need to be winning that game. And that game Friday is huge. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's one of the biggest games in this program's history right now for us. That's how we're looking at it. So, you know, we're all on the same page. We've been having plenty of meetings day in, day out, plenty of good training sessions. We're going to be prepared for that game, and we're going to be prepared to go for it.
Now, you used the word urgency, and I know you've been on a lot of teams in situations where there's urgency throughout your career, both you know, at both levels. Is this, you know, urgency can be an interesting thing because you can be over-urgent and it can adversely affect you and manifest in different ways that aren't necessarily positive. So is it sort of a controlled urgency that has to be acquired for this game?
I think so. I think that's a good way to describe it. You never want to be, you never want your sense of urgency to be so much to the fact that players are starting to get tense and starting to get nervous. I think that you want to have a little bit of an edge about you. I think you want your players to be excited for the game. I think you want players going into the game that know what the stakes are and know how much it means for our country. But you also want to have guys relaxed and to go through their normal routine. And the thing that I always draw on in these situations, especially with the U.S. national team, is just the past history with this group. And not just this team, but I just think the teams of years past, the American spirit, every time there's been a little bit of adversity surrounding our team, we've responded, mostly in positive ways. Back in the beginning of this hex, obviously everybody remembers, you know, we lost our first two games of the hex to Mexico and Costa Rica. There was a little bit of panic. And I think our team, when Bruce came in, you know, that game against Honduras, we had the same feeling. We had to play with a sense of urgency, but it had to be controlled urgency. And so we got a good result then, and we're expecting to do the same now.
Do we overreact as a soccer-playing nation, or is that healthy that we reacted in maybe the way we did after those first two games?
Well, I think that's the nature of the times that we live in. Glenn. Honestly, mm-hmm. I do. I think with Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all these different social mechanisms where information is moving faster than ever now, everyone has a voice and everyone has an opinion. And I think that's a great thing for soccer in this country. I really do, because it means that people care, and it means that our sport is growing, and it means that, you know, the expectations for us are no longer, you know, hopefully, you know, we qualify for the World Cup. The expectation for us now is we expect to qualify for the World Cup, and we expect to do well. We expect to get out of our group. We expect to be a player on the world stage. So expectations are growing. And everyone is an armchair analyst these days. You know, everyone thinks that they know what's best for the national team, what players need to be called in, what formations need to be played, you know, who plays over who. And, you know, I think that that dialogue is fantastic. Everyone's opinion, you know, is relevant and meaningful. But at the end of the day, the guys that are in camp every time that we have a camp, you know, you have to try to block out the outside noise and the outside distractions. And I don't just mean that in a negative way. I mean that when you have a poor performance, you need to be able to take the negative, you know, press. You need to be able to take the harsh criticism. And then when you have a great performance on the other end of that, you know, you need to be able to ignore all the positive things that are coming out. Because the truth is, you're never as great as you think you are and as you play, and you're never as bad as you think you are. You're somewhere in between and somewhere in the middle. And as long as you keep that equilibrium, you know, you're going to be pretty level-headed going into big games.
Yeah, that's pretty wise advice. It's funny because I was just going to ask you about, you know, criticism things. But after all, in some ways, you're an entertainer, right? I mean, you have to take the good with the bad because you're putting yourself out there all the time.
And that's true, and I think sometimes that gets lost on people. You know, players don't step on the field to disappoint. You know, we don't step on the field to lose. Players step on the field to win games and to showcase their talent and to try to entertain fans. You know, we love the fans because, you know, they're the lifeblood of our sport. You know, they pay their hard-earned money to, you know, support their teams and to fill the stadiums. And without fans, you know, you're not going to have professional athletes anywhere. So for me, you can't, you know, when you have a great game and when you have a poor game, you can't live on that teetering, on that edge all the time. You've got to keep a level head. You've got to maintain, you know, a calm demeanor about you if you want to get through this grueling career, because it's not easy. Sometimes when you play poorly, you're your own harshest critic. You know, ask any player on the national team and they'll tell you that, no matter how hard fans are on them, you know, we're harder on ourselves, and we take a lot of that to heart. So we've made a lot of mistakes in the past couple of games, and we realize that, we recognize that, and we watch a video, and you try to learn from that, and that's all you can do to try to make yourself better. So we feel well prepared for these games coming up, and we have to play them like there's no tomorrow.
Dax McCarty joining us here, midfielder for the U.S. national team and the Chicago Fire in Major League Soccer. On that note of angry fans, I had a nephew who was very angry when you were moved from the New York Red Bulls to Chicago, which was pretty intense because he was texting me. He was, I can't believe the Red Bulls traded McCarty. Getting to Chicago, it's got to be pretty exciting because you've been a part of the rebirth out there.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's very exciting to, you know, to have such a shock to the system. You know, obviously, you know, I didn't want to be traded from the Red Bulls. And when you have a shock like that, it takes, you know, it's hard to recover from that. But it's exciting to be a part of the project happening in Chicago right now because, you know, I think that club in particular, MLS needs that club to be good. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic soccer city. It's got a rich history and tradition of being successful and winning championships and being one of the best clubs in Major League Soccer. And I think the fans are some of the best in the league. You know, for me, being able to come into a team that has been struggling the past couple of years and help, you know, turn that organization around and help, you know, make that organization a winner again and a, you know, a competitor again, that's something that I take a lot of pride in. So we haven't done anything yet. You know, we haven't accomplished anything special yet. We realize that, you know, the only way you can be remembered truly is by winning trophies. And we lost out on the supporter shield with a little bit of a rough patch after the summer and through the summer. And we, you know, we kind of, you know, didn't didn't meet the goals that we set for ourselves in the Open Cup, you know, by losing to a very good Cincinnati team that had a great run. So the only thing left for us is MLS Cup, and we've accomplished one of our goals now to make the playoffs. That's already, you know, in the bank, and now we need to go for MLS Cup, because that's the only way to measure a season as successful is by winning a trophy.
Dax, how about a word on Bastian Schweinsteiger? Because one of the games I did, I remember he came into a hotel room, and I was just thoroughly engaged with how engaged he is with Major League Soccer. In fact, in our discussion in there, we talked about the Chicago midfield. He mentioned you by name. He mentioned Janino. He mentioned others by name, as though he's been playing with you guys for years. What's it been like playing with him?
Yeah, it's been a real honor being able to share the field with a guy like Bastian. You know, whenever you get to share the field with a guy who's won everything there is to win in the game, and you know, is a guy that is probably one of the most well-respected players that's ever lived. You know, that's an honor for me and for myself. And you know this. I got to play with a guy like that in New York, a player by the name of Thierry Henry, as I'm sure you guys all know. But you know, Thierry, he was a different animal, man. He was a striker, a goal scorer, a creator. You know, he was a guy that just could change a game on his own. Playing with Bastian's a little bit different, because Bastian is kind of a deeper lying midfielder like myself. So when I play with him and when he's on the field, I try to learn as much as I can from things that he does on the field, because, I mean, this is a guy that's won the Champions League. He's won the World Cup. He's played for, you know, one of the biggest clubs in the world for 15 years now. And you know, he's a guy who plays a similar position to me. So it's been an honor to be able to share the field with guys like that. But, you know, the one thing about Bastian that sets him apart is that he makes everyone around him better by how simple he plays, by how effective he is in possession and always wanting the ball, the different types of passes. His range of passing is amazing. So for me, he's a guy that I try to learn from, and it's been an honor sharing the field with him this year and hopefully in the next couple years to come.
U.S. midfielder Dax McCarty joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Has it ever been an issue throughout the year trying to figure out, maybe in the earlier part of the year, about, you know, both of you not getting caught too deep and somebody obviously giving you your depth in midfield?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever been too big of an issue for us. I think in the beginning when we when we first started playing together, there was always that feeling out process. You certainly have to get to know each other's tendencies. I don't think anyone is going to step on the field in a new team and be able to figure out how guys play right away. I think it's always going to take a little bit of time. But for me, the thing that I always told myself is in the beginning when we were playing together was just try to find a good balance. You know, if Bastian drops deep in between the center backs or along the back line to try to find the ball and make the game from deep, I need to be that guy giving us balance in the middle of the field. I can't do that. You know, if Bastian decides it's a moment for himself to push forward and try to help the attack and try to facilitate the attack from a little bit of a higher position, I've got to be, you know, balancing the team out on the defensive side of the ball. So these are little things that, you know, you just learn and pick up along the way. I always say that it makes my job easier to play with really high-level players and players that know the game and have high soccer IQs. And Bastian's soccer IQ is one of the highest that I've been involved with. So, you know, like I said before, he makes the game easier for everyone around him, and you just have to kind of learn off that.
Dax, back to Panama. You talked about pressure. How do you individually handle pressure?
You know, I think I've learned a lot as my career has gone on. I've learned that there's always going to be pressure in professional sports. And I've learned that the best way to deal with that pressure is to embrace it. I think if you're scared of it, and I think if you tense up when thinking about big games and pressure-packed situations, I think you're not going to play well. I think that if you learn to embrace that pressure and, you know, you learn to stick to your routine and just tell yourself to do, you know, what you need to do that makes you a good player, I think that's how I've been able to handle situations like that. I mean, it's a pretty basic concept, but every guy that gets called into the national team is getting called in for a reason. You know, you don't get called into the national team for charity. You get called into the national team because you deserve to be there and because the coach sees something in you that he likes and that he thinks you can contribute to the team. So all of us are here for a reason. You know, we all need to contribute to the team in certain ways. And if there's pressure, great, you know, bring it on. Embrace that pressure and go try to, you know, qualify for the biggest tournament in the world.
How about a word from you, Dax, on Panama? I mean, I know what we've observed. Well, how about you? What type of team are they, and what do you see their strengths as?
They're a great team, man, and I think, you know, just as a basic word on CONCACAF in general, it's getting better. There's no question about it. I think MLS and the U.S. in general is making CONCACAF better by, you know, bringing players in and, you know, letting them play at a higher level than maybe they'd be playing in their domestic leagues. So CONCACAF is getting stronger. I think everyone can see that. There are no easy games in CONCACAF anymore. There were never really any easy games, but, you know, sometimes you got an early goal or a red card and, you know, you'd beat a team 4 or 5-0 and people would say, okay, that's normal. It's not normal. You know, it's very rare that in a hex you're going to beat a team 3-4-0. I don't think it's happened once in our hexagonal that's been going on this year for this World Cup. You know, obviously Mexico and Costa Rica are in great positions, but, you know, every game is a tactical battle and a dogfight. So Panama, specifically, they're a tough opponent for us. We've played them twice already this year, once in the Gold Cup and once in World Cup qualifying down in Panama, and we've tied them both games because they're a good team, and they create problems for you. But for us, you know, I think instead of worrying about them and what they do, you know, we need to focus on ourselves and what we need to do to be the best team. But certainly, Panama is not going to make the game easy for us. They have a really good, strong, stable of defenders. They're really solid along the back line. And then in midfield, you know, they have two really good central midfielders in Godoy and Gomez, who, if you remember, in the Gold Cup, you know, those two guys controlled the game against us. We didn't do a good enough job of getting pressure to their midfield, and we just let them dictate the game, and that made it really tough on us. So we don't want that to happen again. You know, we want to be the team at home that's going to press right from the beginning. We want to have the onus to go after the game and to try to make the game hard on them and not vice versa. So it should be a great game. I think the fans are going to get a spectacle because both teams are going to want to win the game. So we know it's not going to be easy, but, you know, we're planning on coming out on top.
Dax, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it. A couple days before your game against Panama, best of luck to you.
I appreciate it, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
So great stuff there from Dax McCarty against what is a huge game. And you heard him mention there, one of the biggest games in program history for the United States. We don't even want to begin to think about the U.S. not making it to a World Cup. So Panama, U.S. on ESPN this Friday. And my thanks to Dax McCarty. All right, quick word now here again for Bud Light. As the host of Soccer Matters, I remind you that nothing is better than getting out on a patio, getting out with your friends, going out to a game, and most importantly, grabbing your friends in an ice cold bucket of Bud Lights. Whether it's tonight, tomorrow, any other day of the week, remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light is an official sponsor and the official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And hey, a quick shout out here to Kings Court. Now, this is the place to go this weekend ahead of the Dynamo Charities Cup tomorrow, ahead of Tigres and Monarcas on Saturday, and ahead of Canada and El Salvador. Soccer fans, the real soccer pub in Edo is the Kings Court. It's right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins. It's on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. 13 TVs at the Kings Court. They show Premier League matches, Dynamo matches, La Liga, Champions League, Liga MX. You name it, they have it. Kings Court has 24 taps, a full bar, a great selection of spirits, and great, wonderful pub food there. I would suggest the butter chicken. Get over there, say hello to Jay. It's also the home pre- and post-game of Dynamo matches of El Batallon. Say hello to Jay. It's kingscourttx.com. Kings Court, the real soccer pub in Edo. It is on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. We'll take a break. More to come.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach DaspitLaw.com. You call 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Now, whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, it doesn't matter. The Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. Again, it's DaspitLaw.com. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Fight for your right for compensation with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. We get into what is an important 9 minutes here, and it's with a great friend of mine, first of all. You do know him as an author, a historian, and just a great piece of our soccer community here in Houston and in Manchester, England, for that matter. He grew up in the shadows of the stadium. He has authored so many books on Manchester United, including Forever a Babe. He is Tom Clare. He joins us now. Tom, thank you for coming on.
It's my pleasure, Glenn.
Well, as you and I talk before the show, I really want to focus in on these next 9 or so minutes on what you have seen through your lens. And obviously, commercialism is a big part of Manchester United, the brand and the business. But I want to start it off by taking you into a term back in your day that you had mentioned to me called Saturday people. Who were Saturday people?
Well, the Saturday people were the guys and the girls who went to the game. I mean, the game in my early days as a youngster growing up, the game was played on a Saturday. It was a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday afternoon. And from us being kids, carrying on into our youth and early adulthood, it was what we always looked forward to. The game on a Saturday was paramount, and it was the talking piece of the week. And the result, you know, really could formulate how your week went, whether we won, whether we lost, whether we drew. But 3 o'clock Saturday was always the focus as far as our recreation time was and watching the sport. The only times that we saw midweek football was when the FA Cup was played, if there was any replays that had to be played. And you've got to remember, back in those days, not many grounds had floodlights. So the games were played, any replays were played on a Wednesday afternoon. And even then, you used to get decent crowds because, you know, people used to stay off work, people used to play through and from school. And again, the match was paramount. But the Saturday people were the grassroots supporters of the club. You know, they were the ones that put the money into the club through their attendance money, through the gates and through the programs. There was very, very little commercialism back in those days. And, you know, it was there to go and see the match with your friends, be there week in, week out, and support your club.
Now, you and I
had... So they got that term, Saturday people.
You and I had a fascinating interchange today where we talked just about where this has all come to now. And obviously, Manchester United is this massive corporation. It's a massive brand. Has that been tough for you?
It's been very tough, Glenn. It started really out of pure greed, and as we talked earlier on today, it really started back in the 70s with the Manchester United chairman Louis Edwards, who had a he was a businessman that had a string of meat companies across the city, and those meat companies started to struggle. But the thing was, there was a rule by the FA that there was a checks and balances in place where directors couldn't be paid and where they could not take any money out of the club. But Louis Edwards got together with one of the big legal people in Manchester, and they formulated a plan where they circumnavigated the rule by issuing shares. And through the issues of these shares, he was able to make money from the club. Sadly, what happened then was that he was corrupt. He was brought out by Granada Television in a program, and a few months later he died. But then his offspring, Martin Edwards, took over the club in 1980, and that's where the real greed came in. Because Martin Edwards wasn't happy, he wasn't a paid director, and again, they found a way of circumnavigating the rules, and he became the first paid director in British football. And they were taking large sums of money, but the greed grew then, because the gate sharing was paramount to a lot of the clubs that weren't as big as United, as big as Liverpool, as big as Arsenal. Each gate was shared on a percentage basis. But Martin Edwards then was able to coerce some of the other chairmen into breaking a rule. They threatened the league that they would leave the league and form their own league, and it stopped. And what happened then was that the home clubs kept all the gate money. Well, of course, the five top clubs were the biggest earners. And so, you know, this is where this differential started to show, you know, and that started to continue through the 80s until, you know, we got the formation of the Premier League.
Tom, do you still get the same nostalgia out of the club now? Because it is so different. I mean, you told me, look, you got to go back. And if you go back and you go to the museum, it's big money to get into the museum. It's big money for this, to take your photo with somebody. You know, it is a little bit distasteful, but it was, you know, in some ways a progress that was going to come no matter who the main participants were.
Yeah.
Could it have been done differently?
I think so, Glenn. I mean, the doors were open when they become a public limited company. I mean, that's when the doors were open wide, and that was Martin Edwards again. But whenever I go back, my nostalgia is on the playing side. I mean, I go into that big stadium, and I can remember it from when it was just a shell. I remember when there was no main stand when I first went there. But my nostalgia is about all the great players that I saw through you know, the 60 odd years that I've been following them. As far as the club is concerned, the human touch has gone, and it's the same with a lot of the big clubs today. Commercialism now is what runs the game. You know, of course, without the monies coming in, they couldn't buy the big players. I appreciate that, but it could and should have been different. But you see, what you got then, you got speculators coming into the game, people who weren't football people, but who have seen the Premier League as a way of making money, and that's where we've gone. And it's been to the detriment, in my eyes, of English national football.
Now, you've also, you made it very clear to me that, you know, they want tourists over there, because the tourists are going to go there just like a tourist. They're going to spend money. They're going to spend it in the shops,
exactly.
Merchandising, all of that. Just take that a little bit further for me.
Yeah, well, what they've done, they've distanced themselves from the Saturday people, you know, the grassroots core support. And over the last 20 years, what's gradually happened, because of the increase in ticket prices, a lot of these people cannot go anymore. You know yourself, Glenn, I support a school in Manchester, very close, mm-hmm. under the shadow of the main stand at Old Trafford. And whenever I go there, I go into the classroom every year and I speak to the students and I ask them, you know, how many of you have actually been to a Premier League game at Old Trafford? And if I get two in the class, then we're lucky. And when they ask why, it's because the parents can't afford it. You know, a working class guy who's got a couple of kids, you know, to take him to the match at Old Trafford now, he's got to stalk out something between $300 and $400. You know, it's absolutely monstrous. And of course, you've got this thing, this commercialism with replica shirts that they change two and three times a year. And the price of the merchandise inside the stadium is all sky high. It's all about making the buck. They're not interested. All they're interested in is filling them seats with people that can afford to go to these games. And what you're finding is that a lot of the stadiums are now being sanitized and the atmosphere is gone.
Tom Clare, noted author, historian, grew up in the shadows of Old Trafford. All right, so the last one I'm going to go here, Tom, and we only have about 20 seconds here, so you got to be quick. We saw the vote of the fans of the greatest player ever. It ended up being Ryan Giggs with Cantona second. Who is your greatest 1 and 2 for Manchester United?
No doubts about it, Duncan Edwards. The greatest player I have ever seen, and that includes Pelé, Messi, Maradona, Cruyff, the lot. Duncan was the most complete player that I have ever seen.
Wow. We're going to end it right on that, because that is absolutely perfect. Duncan Edwards, if you don't know him, look him up.
Yeah.
Phenomenal player. Tom Clare used to watch him play as a young man. Tom, as always, thank you very much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
We're all pulling for you, and later on in the show, I'm going to tell people a little bit about your situation. But again, thank you so much for everything that you do for the sport, and
Glenn,
thank you for coming on.
It's wonderful to speak to you, and it's so wonderful to call you a friend, my dear friend.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be coming up to see you again. We're going to spend some more time together. That was a wonderful day today. You treated me to. In fact, it was like going into a museum at your house.
Yes.
So thank you for that, Tom.
You're welcome.
All right. That's the one and only Tom Clare. Hey, quick word here before we go to break. Soccer fans, the real soccer pub in Edo is the King's Court. It's right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins, right on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. So look, it has more of a real pub feel. And by the way, Tom Clare's group, the Houston Red Army, the Manchester United supporters group, goes to the King's Court. 13 TVs there at the King's Court. They're going to show the Premier League, Dynamo, La Liga, Champions League, you name it, NFL Sunday Ticket. King's Court, 24 taps, a full bar. They got all kinds of spirits, good pub food. Get over to King's Court where I hang out post-game Dynamo. Visit the rooftop deck, kingscourttx.com. Go in there, say hello to Jay. Or better yet, go in there and say hello to Tom Clare when Manchester United plays. That is a great experience to go down there when they play. It's a wonderful group of guys and gals. KingsCourtTX.com. We'll take a break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Now, if you want an Irish pub with that Irish feel, then the Gorgeous Gale is the place for you. Soccer fans, head over to the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 on Morningside Drive in West University. You'll catch all the best soccer and football matches there. Get in for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offerings are there as well. And say hello to my good friend Peter. The place has got a great open feel, a lot of monitors, big outdoor patio. Patio is going to be great as things begin to cool off here. The Gorgeous Gale is the place to be. TheGorgeousGale.com, an official Soccer Matters pub. Azure Salon. Now, that's in the heart of River Oaks and West Ave shopping. It's at where the Gables West Ave is right there. The stylist at Azure Salon keep me looking sharp for all my TV work, and believe me, that is not an easy thing to do. Azure Salon is the place to go. Guys, you can get over to Azure Salon. Ladies, they have you covered with color, cuts, extensions. AzureSalon.com. It's A-Z-U-R Salon.com. With that, we bring in, who has had a very impressive season in Major League Soccer, midfielder from Colombia, Juan David Cabezas, and Hector Casteltort will be doing the interpreting here. So thank you to both you guys for joining me here today. I just want to start with Juan David, what it's been like adjusting to Major League Soccer.
¿Qué es lo que más me ha gustado de la...
¿Cómo te has adaptado a la liga?
Bueno, realmente ha sido una experiencia muy especial para mí, muy bonita. Vine con muchísimas expectativas y cuando tuve la posibilidad de llegar aquí hasta el día de hoy, pues solo ha estado cargado de cosas positivas para mi vida, desde lo personal, desde lo deportivo. Y realmente al principio no fue nada fácil, los primeros 3 meses no fueron nada fáciles, porque me encontré con un fútbol mucho más rápido, mucho más físico, mucho más dinámico, pero gracias a Dios tuve la oportunidad de tener continuidad y ahora, a pesar de que sigo en un constante aprendizaje y me falta por adaptarme, pues me siento un poco más cómodo y espero seguir dando todo lo que puedo dar para el beneficio de Houston Dynamo.
Honestly, the first 3 months I was here, they were not easy. I had to adapt to a league that is so much faster, that it's more physical, and that it's more dynamic. But honestly, this time I have been here has been nothing but joy. It has been a really joyful experience to be here, and I hope that I can keep on doing well so that I can keep on bringing results to Houston Dynamo.
Juan David Cabezas, 26 years of age from Cali, Colombia, has been outstanding this year. And as you know, Hector and Juan David might be hearing, so a lot of people are saying he's the most valuable player on this team, which is quite a statement. What were some of his big influences growing up in the game?
Juan David, cuando tú veías al fútbol, ¿quiénes eran tus influencias? ¿Quiénes eran los jugadores que tú admirabas?
¿Cuando yo estaba pequeño?
Sí. O incluso ahora.
O incluso ahora, okay. Bueno, realmente hubieron personas, jugadores que fueron referentes en mi posición, por supuesto. No solo colombianos, sino personas, pues, jugadores que están en el exterior. En su momento era muy seguidor de Xavi Hernández. Me gustaba y me gusta, obviamente, mucho cómo juega el fútbol. En su momento tenía mucha simpatía con obviamente, no solo tendría que ser en mi posición, también podría ser jugadores que disfrutaba uno mirando, como Ronaldinho, como Ronaldo, por supuesto. Y ahora los jugadores que intento seguir muy, muy de cerca son jugadores como Sergio Busquets, como Casemiro y como Toni Kroos.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, someone that was really important for me, you know, like at the world stage was Xavi Hernandez, because he plays my position, and it was someone that I followed. And then outside of my position, someone like Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, they were really influential. And currently, Casemiro, Kroos, those are the type of players that I follow now.
Juan David Cabezas, 24 starts for the Houston Dynamo, 25 appearances, has just grown into this league beautifully. I want to take him back to Deportivo Cali and playing for a big club like that in Colombia, and what sort of pressure he might have embraced and had there, Hector.
¿Lo escuchaste, Juan David?
No, dime que no escuché muy bien.
Sobre el Deportivo Cali, cuando tú jugaste allá un equipo tan grande en Colombia, ¿qué tipo de presión significó jugar para un equipo tan grande como el Deportivo Cali?
Bueno, realmente fue muy especial porque, aparte de que tienes la oportunidad de jugar como profesional, pues representas al equipo del cual eres hincha. Entonces, yo empecé en el Deportivo Cali a los 9 años y ver que tenía la posibilidad de debutar a los 16, pues fue una experiencia muy bonita, pero realmente también es una responsabilidad muy grande porque es un equipo que siempre tienes la exigencia de la hinchada, del entorno de ser campeón, y gracias a Dios tuve esa oportunidad, pero fue con mucho trabajo y con mucha paciencia también.
You know, it was really, really beautiful for me because I was not only it did not only give me an opportunity to play professionally, but I was also a fan of this club. So by being a club, that meant even more for me, by being a fan of the club. And I started there when I was 9, and you know, like, because of how big the club is, the pressure that comes on, it's higher and bigger. But it was a good experience for me to be there.
Juan David Cabezas joining here on ESPN 97.5. We're pleased to have him on. He's been an outstanding midfielder in Major League Soccer this year. In his first year, he's on loan to the Houston Dynamo. Does he have any idea what he thinks will happen in the future? Does he want to stay in Major League Soccer? Does he want to go back to Colombia? What is Juan thinking after this season?
¿Qué es lo que esperas de
él? ¿El futuro o de volverme a Colombia o quedarme aquí?
¿Qué te gustaría a ti? ¿Volver a Colombia, quedarte en Houston, jugar en otra parte? ¿Cómo será el futuro para ti?
I'm really happy here. I've learned a lot. I would like to continue learning how can I play soccer more, better and improving in my in my English. Maybe now another other things, other experience. I would like to keep here. I'm happy here. But obviously, I have to wait for the decision of the Houston Dynamo. We need to finish this season, hopefully, with the playoff. And that is our ideal, our hope. I hope that I can continue here. I would like that, but it isn't my decision. That's it.
And by the way, your English is very good, Juan David. It's mejor mi español. So don't.
No.
I think it's excellent. It's excellent. How is the team currently, Hector, to Juan David, from a confidence standpoint? How important was that last result at home against Minnesota?
No lo escuché muy bien.
¿Qué tan importante fue la victoria contra Minnesota en casa para el equipo?
Okay, really, we had to win. Because we have a lot of pressure for win, because the other team were winning. Of course, we were at home, and we had three games. Win for that. That game was a good result for us. Obviously, we need to improve in details. But when you win, you can improve more. I think that is the idea. We hope that we can continue improving and win, and that's it. That is the idea.
Juan David, thank you so much for coming on. I hope, Hector, if you can translate this to Juan David, but he may understand it anyway. I would love for him to come in studio one night, and we talk about the game all over the world, not only the Dynamo, but all over the world. And I thank him for coming in, and best of luck in this final playoff push to Juan David Cabezas.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you so much for your invitation. I'm sorry for my English. I'm learning yet. But I hope that everyone will be good in that moment that is very important for us. And thank you so much for everything.
It's our pleasure. Thank you very much. Muchas gracias, Juan David Cabezas. Hector Casteltort, thank you very much for coming on ESPN 97.5 tonight. And we appreciate it, guys. All right, we're wrapping it up here. Thank you, Hector. We wrap it up here tonight. My thanks to Jose Partida for stepping in here for Tyler Scott tonight. I guess he blew us off tonight, Jose. He went for the bigger bash down at Hotel Zaza. But for all who listened in here tonight and to all our great guests like Juan David Cabezas, thank you for tuning in tonight. And remember, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 every Wednesday at 7 Central. And John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm bring it to you. They are personal injury attorneys. We'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Doesn't matter what type of accident it is, Daspit Law Firm will make it their own. Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24-7, fighting for your right for compensation. Do it with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Good night, everyone.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.